Hello, everybody. My name is Ron, and this is Ron's Gadget Talk for Friday, 27th of November, 2020. Okay, I didn't upload yesterday, sort of, because, you know, time just goes out. By the time I sit around, and obviously I have a lot to do sort of in the day, and then when obviously I have nothing, and then when I'm free, then it's probably past midnight. That's when I'm active. Yeah, I'm a bit of a night owl. I don't know why. But today is the 27th of November, which is Friday, but more like Black Friday or White Friday, depending on how you look at it from where you live. And so there, I mean, because it's White Friday, or you could say Black Friday, there are tons and tons of deals going on. I mean, I very quickly want to touch through some of the deals before we just get into this episode. Obviously you can get the AirPods Pro for like $190 instead of $249, which is a good deal. It's $190 at some bizarre part of Amazon. It's called Voot. Anyways, so plenty of really good deals to go through. I mean, because it's that time of the year. Let's see. You can get, if you don't want Apple earbuds, you can get the Galaxy Buds Plus for $110 at Amazon, or obviously $79 for the original Galaxy Buds, which are pretty decent. And then there's the MacBook Pro base spec, the newest MacBook Pro, and you can order it for $50 less at B&H and Amazon. So it's $1,249, pretty much $1,249 USD. Instead of the $1,300 you'd pay after that. And obviously you have the smartwatch. Oh, and I forgot the smart speakers also. In Google smart speakers, Google's product, also interesting to note, a lot of Google products are not really heavily discounted this year for some reason. I'm sure that they wanna make sure that stock sells at regular cost price. But if you are looking to buy a smart speaker at a bargain, the Amazon Echo Dot is $30, as it is at the moment, and the new Echo is $70 instead of $160, save $30, so it's a good deal. Where were we here? Aside from that, you can also get the Roku Streaming Stick Plus for $30. Roku is really good. It's kind of, it's ecosystem agnostic. It's not really with Apple or Amazon or that. And so if you don't use a specific ecosystem, you have a bit of everything. You're that person with an Android and an iPhone. Roku is a good streaming box to start with. But if you want something much faster than that and you're willing to pay more than $100, there's obviously the Nvidia Shield, which is $130. Or as always, you can get a Fire TV stick from Amazon, and they're also on sale. You can get it for $28 instead of the usual $40-$50 for a Fire TV stick. But those are usual prices for a Fire TV stick from the looks of it. So yeah, there are plenty of deals. I mean, I think the key really to shopping on Black Friday or White Friday for that matter, or Cyber Monday, or the many, many shopping days, is really just have a bunch of items that you'd want to get in mind, and then just check the price before it was on sale, and then before it was on sale to an extent, and then when it's time to, before it was on sale, and then before it's time to like buy it on that main sale day, you just check the price difference. If you're saving a lot today, buying it during say Black Friday or so, just go get it really. Obviously for a lot of folks back in the States, and obviously in the West, you obviously are buying now for the holiday season. You get a good bargain on these devices. So there's plenty of good things to. I probably wanted to add here that you can get a Google Home Nest. Okay, the Google. I saw a Google Home Hub thing for I don't know how much. Let me just check. Nest Hub. There was a good price going on those, to say the least. You might probably hear me Look, searching around. Alrighty. Okay, so the normal 7-inch Nest Hub, we're able to get it for $50, and instead of $90, which is a good deal, and the max is $180. So, kind of forgive me on that for saying that there's no deals on Google device. There are, but they're not this significant compared to Amazon's deals, which are obviously quite neck and neck. For context, the small, much smaller Echo Show 5 is $45, but it's been hovering around that much for a better part of the year. So there are plenty of deals, good deals to start with. Pretty much one that I saw that was, I think, quite interesting. Was you could get an S20 Plus 128 GB for $750. That's a really excellent deal. Samsung devices pretty much go down in price over time, obviously, by later in the year. This is a good time to buy the S20 if you're not really wanting to get an S30 or something. It's a good price. And also, if you're going to get the S30, then you can get it later on. You can trade it in and get good value out of it. And then I think I saw some games for third and Watch Dogs, the new Watch Dogs game is $30 instead of 50. And the best part of that is that obviously if you don't have the new next gen console, but you want to buy one, you could upgrade it down the road, and you can get an upgraded copy. So that's pretty cool. What else really? You can get an Xbox controller for $40, the newer Xbox controller. It's actually on sale at Walmart for $40 instead of 60, which is a good deal in my own books. And obviously, that's basically it. And oh, and the last one was, if you're streaming a lot of movies and shows, as always, there's an offer for the ad supported bundle of Hulu, for the ad supported tier of Hulu. You can get a whole year of Hulu for $24, which is pretty good. So that's about $1-2 per month instead of $5 a month, which is a good deal, pretty much. So that's obviously for all your folks in the US and stateside. But in Britain, in the UK also, there's some tons of also good deals there too. So in the UK, I'm around kind of. If you want a Xiaomi, it's the best time to get one because a Mi 10T Pro 5G, instead of £600, you can get it for £399 pounds for a 256 GB variant. There's obviously one to double the storage that costs more money. And that's one deal, like good deal I saw, and you can get a Pixel 4a for £320, so £320 instead of say 400. So that's fun. And then obviously Amazon's own devices are obviously on sale. Just for context, you can get a Fire TV Stick for £25, and a Echo Show 5 for £40, and the new Echo Dot for £28. If you want the older generation, it's on sale for £19. So it's a good deal, frankly. And then obviously, on top of that, you can oh, and the ASUS ZenBook S13 is will cost net from £999 pounds, you know. I mean, so and yeah, there's not many. There are not many. There are plenty of deals, and this year's quite special with obviously you have that pandemic and stuff, and obviously there are not many deals that there used to be, but. That's just some of the sample of deals that are going on that you can get at really good prices. Obviously, I mean the prices may vary. Obviously, if you're listening to this later on today and just during Friday and obviously till Cyber Monday, you probably get some crazier deals. So do look up online and do some Googling, and obviously use and also my advice, obviously use price trackers to check the price of certain goods if you're paying the best price for them, because you never know, you might be paying a little more than usual. So you exercise some common sense if you can in this regard, and happy bargain scoring. So yeah, that was kind of some of the Black Friday deals that I mentioned. I mean, because today we're today dropping it today, so it's Black Friday today. So yeah, that's that. So aside from that, also we have plenty of things to talk about today. I mean, we're probably bringing up stuff in the last couple of days. Xiaomi, I'll obviously start with Redmi. Redmi have shown off three new phones and a smartwatch. So let's just get straight into it. So Redmi kind of in China at the moment have launched three new sort of Redmi Note 9 phones. But obviously a difference between that and so the global 5G, sorry, the difference between this and the global Redmi Note 9 is that this is these devices are obviously how do you explain this? How do you explain this? I mean, essentially, you could say the red di these one these Redmi Note 9 phones that are released for the Chinese market have 5G built in, whereas the sort of the global version is sort of 4G only and has sort of decently new processors, probably previous generation. So we have the Redmi Note 9, the Note 9 Pro, both of them that have 5G, and the normal Redmi Note 9 4G version. Yes, there's a 4G version, which is bananas. So that's that. So the Redmi Note, so go in order, so much. So we have the 4G version of the Redmi Note 9. It has a Snapdragon 662 processor, 6,000 milliamp hour battery, which is, I think, massive. 6,000 milliamp hour battery is impressive. And then you have stereo speakers overall. And you have Gorilla Glass 3 on front and back. It comes in four different mem storage configurations. Minimum RAM storage is 4 GB of RAM, and obviously maximum is 8 GB of RAM. Oh, and I haven't mentioned, to say the least, the 6,000 milliamp hour battery can be topped up with 18-watt fast charging, so that can be done quickly. And you have a side-mounted fingerprint scanner, 48-megapixel. Back camera, sort of f1.79, 8 megapixel ultra wide f2.2, and a 2 megapixel depth sensor. Okay, that's decent. And it can record at full HD at 30 frames per second. You get a headphone jack. You get AC Wi-Fi out of the gate. All flavors of GPS, pretty much at this point. And MIUI 12, which is running on Android 10, interestingly enough. And it's 4G only, which is interesting. And so, a minimum price for the Redmi Note 9 4G is newer variant. Is $151 or from 999 yuan. So this is sort of competing with phones in the same price, sort of like the Huawei Y series phones, because that's all I can think of, sort of. And obviously from there it goes up in price. So the $151 price is for the 4 GB RAM, 128 GB storage variant. So that's that. It has it it I mean, if not mistaken, it looks a little like the Redmi 9, I think. Let me correct myself here. And don't know how it looks like on the back. Yeah, it's kind of like the Redmi 9, and then they moved it to the. Okay, I remember. It's a little similar to the Mi 10T series, which is interesting. So that's the 4G variant, and now there is a Redmi Note 9 5G variant. This is in China, sort of. Mind you, there's a global version of the Redmi Note phones, which have obviously have MediaTek chips and 4G only and stuff. And then there's a 5G variant of the Redmi Note 9, and the 5G variant now. And it has the and to start with, officially speaking, it has a MediaTek, the MediaTek Dimensity 800U SoC. 6.53-inch LCD display at 60 Hz refresh rate. You got three sensors at the back, and it's awfully similar to the global Redmi Note 9. Essentially, the difference really is that the back is a circle, in the three in the top center part of the has a circular ring around it. It's a little smaller than say what the Mate 30 had. No, it's not really. We can't. It's really, okay. We're not really comparing apples to apples, but it's almost similar. You have so the back. So on the back, you have a 48 megapixel sensor, 8 megapixel main sensor, 8 megapixel ultra wide lens, thank god for that, 2 megapixel depth, so almost the same array of cameras as the 4G version, but obviously they'll be really good, especially with the processor. On top of that, along with that, you have a 30 megapixel selfie camera that's pretty much in a punch hole notch, which is okay, it'll be better than nothing really. You got Corning Gorilla Glass 5 on the front only, so that's interesting. On top of all that, you have a 7 nanometer MediaTek Dimensity 800U processor that is obviously capable of 5G and obviously a really crispy camera out of the gate. Oh, and have I mentioned the back cameras can do 4K at 30 frames per second. You get side-mounted fingerprint scanner, 5,000 mAh battery, 18 watt of fast charging out of the gate. Apparently from looking from the spec sheet, it can only do mid-band 5G, which is kind of interesting. So that's that. And can run MIUI 12 and has an IR scanner. Now the 5G variant, the Redmi Note 9, starts, especially given its spec sheet. Your jaws will drop. Redmi Note 9 5G with mid-band 5G service, mid-band 5G support, a MediaTek Dimensity 800U CPU, 5,000 mAh battery, 6.53-inch display, 48-megapixel main lens, 4K video recording, fingerprint sensor, and Bluetooth 5.1 support, Android 10, 18-watt fast charging, all of this and more. And obviously, with a decent amount of RAM and 128 gigs of storage, all this and that for, this is the base price, base tier starting price, 1299 yuan, renminbi. I mean, okay, 1299 yuan or $197, roughly $200. Wow. Talk about that. Talk about good value for money. The Redmi Note 9 5G, well, especially very decent specs you're getting and finally a 5G chip that is pretty affordable, $197. That's good value for money. Even after markups and stuff, this is actually the best value in town right now. Obviously now a lot of phones are starting to come out at an aggressive pace, and so the cost of a 5G phone is coming down dramatically. Yes, you're only getting mid-band 5G service, but hey, let's face it, even in China or say in Asia or in Europe, the iPhone 12, which is about $800, only gives you mid-band 5G access, not even millimeter wave 5G, or else it'll probably been a good deal at that price. Here what you're getting, in my own opinion, is excellent, is a steal here. I mean, if they make a global version of the Note 9 5G, this will be one of the best-selling 5G phones next year. I mean, by the time it'll come out, it'll slowly be out on the global market. There'll probably be a global version of it by early next year. I mean, with the next 3 months, really. And that with a markup around $200, this is a banging value, sort of. I mean, and this all with a 5G chip, so you can connect to a 5G network and access blazing fast data. In some parts of the world, mid-band 5G gets you gigabit speeds. Literally. Jokes aside. So that's bananas, but you may think that, okay, so they've delivered a good value already, but we're not done yet. There's the Redmi Note 9 Pro 5G. Now this is the real powerhouse, affordable powerhouse, I'd say, arguably. The Note series is one of the most popular affordable phones out there in the world, one of the best-selling affordable sort of phones, mid-range, globally. And if there is a list of some of the best-selling phones under 400 USD worldwide, Redmi Notes will come in probably like 3 or 4 out of 10, and then the rest will probably be the Pixel 4a and then the Samsung low and mid-end phones at that price, the A51s and stuff. But this is real value for money. So what am I talking about? A Redmi Note 9 Pro 5G has a Snapdragon 750G, a 6.67-inch, 120Hz LCD display with 240Hz touch sampling rate. So sort of like it sees your touches at double the speed of the display, which is kind of awesome. So it's two steps ahead. I mean, you get 108 megapixel Samsung HM2 sensor camera with a 1x1.52-inch sensor. Aside from that, you get literally three extra sensors: 8-megapixel ultra-wide, 2-megapixel macro, 2-megapixel depth. Fortunately, they ditched the macro on other Note 9 models that for China, obviously, except for the Pro. They've added that, so seems like that. And you get plenty of really, really cutting-edge features. Already on top of a headphone jack and side-mounted fingerprint sensor, you get IP53 water and dust resistance, stereo speakers, NFC, 33-watt fast charging with the 4,820 milliamp hour battery, which is freaking dope. And on top of that, you get a punch. Obviously, there's a 16-megapixel selfie camera in the so the center punch hole config. So the Snapdragon 750G is probably the newest mid-range chip from Qualcomm. You get two A77 cores and six A55 cores, and you get Adreno 619 GPU. Aside from that, the interesting part is the primary 108-megapixel sensor has 9-in-1 pixel binning, so it can go all the way down to, I think, a couple of megapixels in the pixel binning mode, and f1.75 aperture. And you get 4K video recording at 30 frames a second. I think this is due with the processors, pretty much. Aside from that, you get Bluetooth 5.1 out of the gate, and essentially mid-band 5G coverage, which is not bad. I have to specify what type of 5G, because 5G is all over the world, but there are two flavors: millimeter wave and sub-6. Millimeter wave 5G is like on really are mainly for flagships, you know, like the. If let's say that for iPhones in the US, and obviously for a lot of Samsung and Huawei devices around the world, but obviously here the 5G you're getting here is for mid-band, which is not going to be a problem because it'll work all over the world and obviously has better coverage. But aside from that, really, so the Note 9 Pro really is a pro, is a affordable powerhouse. So a Snapdragon 750G, 120 Hz LCD display, 108-megapixel camera, a real pro at it's a pro at what it does. 4,820 milliamp hour battery, a kind of a downside to having so much more advanced specs. 33-watt fast charging, and the 108-megapixel camera having a 1 by 1.52-inch sensor, which is interesting. All this starting $243 for a base 6 GB RAM and 128 GB of storage, which is phenomenal. This is good value for money, even after a markup, a good markup, healthy markup, $300 roughly. Which would probably be for a imported international version you'd buy at GearBest or AliExpress. Good value for money, $300. High refresh rate, decent mid-range chip. Qualcomm, mind you, Qualcomm chips are good in my own books, that's for sure. And it's just bananas what you're getting for the value for money. And this is the space 128 gigabyte storage variant. So for a third of the price, I mean, after sort of markup or some, you know, the markup from, you know. Because if you order the imported models, sort of, for these, like you import from China, obviously through, say, AliExpress, they'll add up a good markup, kind of. But if you're buying it straight in China, the 8 GB variant, the 256 GB variant, maxed out, is $304. This is roughly a third of the price of the iPhone 12, like spec, 128 GB variant, or obviously, I don't know, double the storage. Third of the price, you get high refresh rate, decent mid-range chip, well optimized at this point, kind of, for gaming and stuff, mind you, and editing. You wouldn't really notice the difference, give and take, and a pretty massive sensor. So if you want raw horsepower and you want to spend an arm and a leg and a kidney, and I don't know how much money you want to spend, thousands of dollars, you can get one for $300. This is good value for money. Now, this is what I call good value for money. I love Xiaomi, though, and I'll tell you, I mean, the China-only Redmi Note 9s are really exciting. This with 5G, oh my God, this is phenomenal. I really want Xiaomi to bring this globe. I really would love that Redmi relaunch these new Note 9 phones with 5G worldwide. I think it would be a good value for money, and it'd probably push more sales, because I think we all would love to have mid-band 5G service. I've been probably been thinking of buying, having a new phone, and one thing I now want is 5G service, because it would get you right now. Not many phones at 5G. If I talk about Bahrain, probably now 5G service is starting to be added on. Obviously, now 5G coverage is starting to improve in Bahrain big time. I think in Bahrain, the thing is you have to pay some, I think, some networks, I think they do for prepaid customers, you have to pay a little extra for 5G service. But I'll probably do that to get the extra bandwidth, because right now everyone's on 4G and some are iPhone and Samsung folks are on 5G already. And so I'll probably be part of the lucky few who get those ultra fast speeds before everyone just gets on it and the network slogs down and all that good stuff. So really good value for money, mind you. So these phones, kind of, doesn't say. Oh, and as I've already mentioned, there's no information about when these phones will be hitting the global market outside of China. But hopefully they will kind of bring it. I'm sure that they might package it under a different name to get people. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but I'm thinking they'll probably rebadge it into something else to get people to buy it. They'll probably bring the fact about the 5G bit by sort of giving another name. Maybe they could call it the K40. You never know, really. The K40 could be a thing. So at the moment, there's no information. Now, such incredible prices for these devices. Nevertheless, I mean, the Pro is starting 240, 243 pretty much, around 250 bucks, and then you go all the way up to 300 for the 256 gigabyte variant. It's just bananas what you get for the money. So the Redmi Note 9 5G series will be available from December 1st completely. You can pre-order it today in China, obviously from the Mi store. Taobao and JD and stuff. I don't know if they do that. You preferably go to Xiaomi's online store. Good service, preferably. If you go to a third-party marketplace, they'll probably pay you, take more money from you. Anyways, you order from the Xiaomi's website in China if you live in China. So, yeah, I mean, do that. Highly recommend it. You get good customer service. Anyways, so that was the Redmi Note 9 series. Then there is the Redmi Watch. That's bananas. Redmi's first smartwatch. I can't believe it's taken them so long to release their own smartwatch. Yikes. So, interesting part about the now the Mi Band 5 is great on its own, but if you want a full-fledged and the Amazfit watches, in fact, those are the ones who make Xiaomi's smartwatches mostly. It's good value for money already. Amazfit watches and the Mi Band, but you might want to consider the Redmi Watch. There's a 1.4-inch display at 5 atmospheric pressure, splash resistance rating, 5 atmo 18 atmospheres, splash resistance, 7-day battery life, active use, 12 days standby, heart rate and step tracking, all that good stuff. And all this is for 45 bucks, 300 yuan. And you can do Xiaoyi, which is I've heard is good for what you're talking about. The Redmi Watch is 35 gra weighs 35 grams, can do NFC, has 30 exercise modes, 120 watch faces. It's all in Chinese, but I'm kind of guessing from the numbers they've put here. But yeah, I mean, good value for money. I mean, obviously plug it to your phone, obviously, but it's good value for money. 45 bucks, and I think it's a little less on discount. So, as I said, you can get all these device products. You can buy them straight away from Xiaomi's website on December 1st. So you know what to do here. So that's absolutely bananas what we're seeing here. So there you have it. This one is kind of eye-opening. I mean, I think this move is quite a paradigm shift in terms of tech manufacturing. Foxconn is building assembly lines for Apple's iPad tablet and MacBook laptops at its plant in Vietnam's northeastern Bắc Giang province to come online in the first half of 2021, the person said. The client we identified as the plan was private. The lines will also take some production from China, the person said, without elaborating how much production would shift. The move was requested by Apple, the person said. It wants to diversify production following the trade war. Yikes. We saw this coming. Oh boy. So, we all know the fact that China makes all sorts of devices, right? It makes all your phones, tablets, computers, ML chips, you name it, they make it. And they, in fact, I mean, the whole everyone really. I mean, I'd probably admit myself to saying this, but China is really the factory of the world. And now, its status as the factory of the world is gonna be challenged. I mean, okay, they wrote the reason really well, and that's the U.S.-China trade war. But then I kind of realized that. But then, Biden's elected as prime in, as pri as president. I mean, we'll have to wait till January 21st if this actually happens. Hopefully, Biden's president-elect, pretty much. So he did. Okay, I mean, he did say he did state he did say he was have gonna have. He wasn't his move on his. He was gonna strengthen American manufacturing. That's what I've heard. I mean, it's not gonna be like okay, trade wars be boring, whatever. No, I mean, I think President-elect Biden is like all about protecting American jobs from the looks of it. So it's quite interesting. So yeah, despite I mean, we don't know whether it'll actually end or not. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. But that's not what we're not here to talk about whether the trade war is. You know, what benefits or disadvantages. We're not even here to talk about that's a whole nother discussion for a whole nother day. It's about Apple. Apple's obviously an American company and it manufactures a lot of things in China. Shocker. Probably a few American companies that both makes things in China and sells like bananas in China because people need iPhones, you know? I mean, nobody cares about iMessage. It's about WeChat. You can use WeChat and Baidu. Nobody's gonna ask questions, especially Apple. They don't really care, frankly. But that's not the point, really. Okay, they sell a lot of devices in China and make a lot of devices in China. I think that's a rarity, you know. But it's interesting that they're looking to sort of manufacture more of the devices outside of the outside of mainland China and other countries, such as Vietnam and India. And, I mean, there are a lot of countries that have come as contentious sort of contenders to. I mean, I think Vietnam makes a ton of sense. Now, I would always say India, but most people think I'm Pakistani, so I probably have a pro-Pakistan bias that, oh, Apple should make iPhones in Pakistan. I mean, they can if they wanted to. Actually, the thing is, it's not actually making iPhones, it's not that difficult, really. There are two parts of it. Actually, there are two parts of iPhone manufacturing, really, that are important. There's the parts making, and then there's the device assembling. Device assembling is kind of difficult. You have to convince Foxconn and Pegatron instead of and Flextronics to build a plant in Pakistan. So that's interesting. That so, I mean, they can do it. I mean, they can, but it's up to the assemblers essentially, the tech assemblers. Foxconn is a tech assembler. If they have to build a plant in Pakistan and then like start running it at full speed, which will take time. But India is there. But I mean, they're making whole OnePlus phones and iPhones, cheaper iPhones, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I would say India's obviously economically has become advanced. It's like I think it's jumped the gun. It's gone straight to being a service economy. It would probably be it's advanced kind of. So you know, it's a bit of an advanced economy already increasingly. I mean, to an extent. But Vietnam makes a ton of sense because it's like it's currently where China was 10, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, people started to jump out of poverty. There's a lot of manufacturing going on. A lot of stuff is being made in Vietnam, which is surprising. Cars are being made. I mean, all sorts of products and items. And Apple's, and obviously, Samsung's been producing phones in Vietnam for a while, kind of. So that's that. Oh, I think it's Cambodia. Basically, the point I'm trying to say is countries like Cambodia or Vietnam. So basically, that part of Southeast Asia, cost of living is low, wages are low, and probably this is a great place to start making devices where obviously making in China would probably be a bit would be not a good idea. I mean, it's interesting what's happening here. So already, Apple's a sort of suppliers essentially or assemblers, you could say. Already make the AirPods and the AirPods Pro in Vietnam, which is interesting. So now they're trying to make iPads and MacBooks. Now that MacBooks obviously are an Apple silicon chips, this will probably be a bit easy. So that's interesting. So this is from Mac Rumors. Major Apple manufacturing contractors Foxconn, Pegatron, and Compal Electronics are all set to be expanding production in Vietnam as companies seek to reduce reliance on China and diversify supply chains to prevent concentration risks. But realistically, cut out tariffs because that would make the things even more expensive than already a lot expensive. I mean, so that's interesting, really. I mean, there's also the redundancy element. I mean, so I have nothing much to say, really. I think it's cool that Apple is looking to make their devices and accessories in more countries than, other than China, and obviously spread it. I mean, there are a lot of places. I mean, they could make in Brazil. Actually, fun fact, some companies in like make if they assemble in Brazil, their taxes, if they imported the items as is into Brazil, they would have to pay very high import taxes. But if they assemble it there in person, then the cost dramatically goes down to sort of like a lot of taxes cut out, which is interesting. So, I mean, Apple probably is taking advantage of this timing where they could essentially broaden out their source of production, sort of. I mean, other brands have been added, like Samsung. I mean, the thing is, China really is the factory of the world. Like, there's no other country that has the characteristics like China to produce, not only to put together technology really or develop it, but also to create on in millions and then send it off instantly. I mean, and this is to speak about other countries in Asia or say Africa or South America, sort of other emerging countries. If you want to beat China in tech manufacturing, you need so the elements that make China's is like tech manufacturing, sort of, I mean, shine, sort of. You need the Shenzhen. You really need the scale, and you need the kind of the plants and the markets of Shenzhen really elsewhere. And we don't have that in most parts of the world. That's kind of annoying. India's kind of there, sort of. It's starting to do it. And in Pakistan, we need our own Shenzhen. I would argue, I frankly say, as a Pakistani, we could put together plants, but we need the kind of environment of Shenzhen, which is essentially the markets and then entire sets of plants and assemblers and, you know, sort of an ecosystem. That's what I'm saying, frankly. That's what I think, frankly. It's interesting that Apple's looking to is looking to broaden, is looking to diversify, and I think it's a good timing and better no better time than now to do it. Especially Vietnam. I think Vietnam, if you think about it, I mean, it's where it is now. It's almost where China was 10, 15 years ago. It's good timing, to say the least. So yeah, I mean. You won't have to pay much in import taxes. That's the benefit only, really, if you think about it. And finally, I mean, we have like a few topics really sometimes, but I end up stretching that for. I mean, we're normally supposed to get this like whole show in then like roughly half an hour, but we end up going beyond it. Is it me? I mean, fellow podcasters, you guys go ahead. Do you guys make episodes and it goes well beyond the usual time that would. You know, like 1 hour, and then it goes like 1 hour 30. Let me know. But finally, this one is in this interesting rumors. I mean, it's kind of a little bit probably giggles me excitement because hey, more advanced technology, woohoo! So according to DigiTimes, a famous Taiwanese publication, they're claiming that there'll probably be that next there'll be a 2021 iPad Pro next year, an iPad Pro that could do millimeter wave 5G. Apparently, this is because Apple has able to create their own sort of antenna, millimeter wave antenna and package. This is like funny kind of corner on the side, if that's correct. So basically, the self-sufficiency in design and development of AIP modules also means that Apple's next generation high-end iPad products to be released in 2021 may also come with millimeter wave technology, said the sources. Essentially, this is on top of obviously a lot of earlier rumors have been coming for the last couple of months that there'll probably be an iPad Pro that'll do millimeter wave 5G out of the gate, and an iPad Pros with mini LED displays. So this has been reported many times that there probably possibly could be a mini LED display iPad Pro. Now, I for one don't know what the benefits are of mini LED, so that's up to the folks to say it. So essentially, so the new iPad Pros are coming, so they will come with millimeter wave 5G and mini LED displays. Honestly, iPad Pros with Millimeter Wave 5G is probably more exciting than the mini LED, frankly. So for context, typically, mini LED is a new screen backlighting technology that's visually similar to an OLED display, but it offers increased brightness and higher contrast ratios while still remaining power efficient. So that probably is why Apple could probably be adding it to the iPad Pro. I don't know if they're able to pull that off, but millimeter wave 5G seems probably because we already have all new iPhones that are obviously in US only, American iPhone 12s that have millimeter wave 5G. Obviously, they're on Verizon and Sprint and wait, on Verizon and AT&T's networks, which do millimeter wave 5G already. I don't know about T-Mobile though, do search it up. I think T-Mobile is mostly low and mid band 5G because that would give you greater coverage and more bragging rights. See where. T-Mobile. Look, we have all of America has 5G. Compared to Verizon, it's just LA and New York. But millimeter wave 5G. I don't have to say it really. I mean, this is the 20 to 40 gigahertz 5G service that gives you really fast download and upload speeds, low latency. But the only downside is the distance. So essentially, the way it is that if you're on a single street corner. You get and you have line almost line of sight, almost the lines on your phone or the phone the way you hold it, if it's straight facing straight to a cell point, essentially a little antenna that pumps out a millimeter wave signal, then you get blazing fast speeds. The moment you get into a tree or step away, you can switch to 4G, God forbid. So an iPad Pro with millimeter wave 5G would seem cool because you can. I mean, if you're sitting on a bench right by a cell point, sort of a antenna point, sort of a pointed antenna, sort of with millimeter wave 5G, you can upload a video instantly, move files to cloud instantly, and just get a lot of work done. And this is what the iPad Pros are about. So it could be the ultimate sort of productivity machine. It could be the ultimate business tool that is there. The iPhones are already available. The Pro, iPhone 12. iPhone 12s are already there. The Pro is good. That has 5G and LiDAR. So the Pro Max, that is big, 6.7-ish inches, and it has LiDAR and 5G if you do want to do that. But outside of that, there's the iPad Pro. The perk is the bigger screen. This is what you probably get. So that's kind of exciting, to say the least. I mean, but it's all coming next year, so you have to wait till 2021. Hopefully, the world is completely back to normal as it is. So that's the show. That's the whole podcast. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know. Send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Sayid_99. Follow me there, and let me know if you've listened to the show, and let me know how it is. Would love to have your feedback. As always, you can obviously email the little address in the bio in the show notes. Aside from that. That's been it. Obviously, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled episodes on Tuesday. Next month, this will basically be the first episode of December. Next month, though, obviously, not gonna be any gadget news to talk about, or rumor news or something. There'll probably be a few tidbits there and there. So we'll try. I'll try. I'm not guaranteeing anything at this point, but I'm gonna try to have some interviews with some friends of mine and some fellow techies, and we talk about certain devices, and also obviously try to talk about the best gadgets of 2020. That's one you don't want to be missing. So better time than ever to go and subscribe to my podcast if you want to listen to sort of the best gadgets of 2020 episodes, and obviously the interviews. Hopefully, again, I'll try my best. Because I won't have not much to talk about, so that's all next month, hopefully. So that was the podcast. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, and stay safe out there. And hope you get some great bargains, and hope you're all cool during the pretty freezing winters, depending on where you are. Pretty much, it's either cold or it's really hot if you're in Australia. All right, have a great day, and till Tuesday. Thank you for listening, and stay safe. Ciao. Bye.